Chicago, 1893. You enter the White City with a dream of attending the World's Columbian Expedition. You find your way to a hotel that looks fairly nice from the outside, and upon entry, you're greeted by a well-dressed and well-spoken man at the counter, going by the name of Holmes. You're given a key to the room you'll be staying in, but seem to have trouble finding the room. Looking through the halls, you find only a maze of corridors, with the occasional door that opens into rooms filled to the brim with unused furniture. Little did you know, you would be the victim to the infamous murder castle, never to be seen again. The Beast of Chicago, the Devil in the White City, the Monster of 63rd Street. All are names for America's first serial killer. H.H. Holmes was the owner of the so-called murder castle, a hotel with confusing layout that was believed to confuse guests and lure them to their death. Could the Beast really have killed more than 200 people in his murderous career? Could he be one of the most well-known names in serial killer history? Or did the world just fall for the long con of a media frenzy? Hi, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Lauren, and this is Murdering Myers-Briggs, your favorite podcast that types a serial killer and their victims based on their Myers-Briggs personality type. We tell you a little bit about them. And then we type them, and then we drink a bottle of wine, and we have a great time doing it, and you should totally join us. And we were put on hold for a minute, you know, this whole quarantine thing in the United States. We're actually in Pennsylvania, so we're just, you know, basically in lockdown, but here we are.
Trying to make everything work.
Bringing your favorite serial killers directly to you via podcast.
And matching them with wine.
And our favorite personality types. This one in particular is mine. You know, our serial killer this week is H.H. Holmes. Very exciting.
Yep. The Beast of Chicago.
He has one of my favorite personality types, too. So I'm really excited about that. It's actually another family member of mine. If you remember, Ed Gein was my father. He wasn't my father, but he was the same personality type as my father. This one is another family member. We'll get into her later.
All right.
Without further ado, Murdering Myers-Briggs, Episode 2.
Born Herman Wilbert Mudgett, H.H. Holmes, was brought up in Gilmanton, New Hampshire, in 1861. Holmes was believed to have grown up in an abusive family, suffering at the hands of his father, and he began torturing animals. At 16, he graduated high school. And at 17, he married his first and only legitimate wife. At 18, he went to his first medical school, but was not satisfied with the quality of the education, so left to attend a different school. During his time at university, Holmes was accused of murder. These murders could never be proven, however, he did admit to stealing corpses to commit insurance scams as a way of making money.
Mudgett.
Herman Wilbert Mudgett.
With a name like that, I mean, how can you not live an interesting life? Where did he come from? Connecticut?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, so nowhere. And yes. I mean, we're from Pennsylvania, so we can't really talk much. But yeah, with a name like Herman Wilbert Mudgett, you really don't wonder why he changed it.
Yeah. And we apologize to any Mudgetts who are still out there.
I'm really sorry to the Mudgett family for a variety of reasons, including the fact that your name is Mudgett. I'm really sorry about that. We're so mean.
And the fact that we are offending the hell out of you.
We're not offending you. Listen, I mean, your last name's Mudgett. You're probably related to H.H. Holmes. It's a rough life for you out there.
I mean, you don't, with a name like Mudgett, you don't have much going for you.
They're probably like multimillionaires. That's like the best part. They're probably rich and famous and looking at us going
they're going to sue the hell out of us.
Who are you? This is Murdering Myers-Briggs. You haven't heard of us? We're only on episode 2. We are famous.
We will be. Come episode 3. The world will know our name.
Sure.
And the name of Mudgett.
They will know. Listen, it's a Herman Wilbert Mudgett. It's a perfectly good name for a man living in the 1800s.
Yeah, I guess.
Apparently he didn't like it, though. He had to change it.
So probably not then.
You can stop the recording, Jenny. I think we're done here.
1884 and conning his way into more money, Holmes bought a pharmacy previously owned by Elizabeth Holton that he worked at for a short time. Shortly after the purchase, Holton and her husband seemed to have vanished without a trace, becoming some of the first victims of Holmes. However, this wouldn't be the mark that is remembered on Holmes' names. This would come in time. Across the street from the pharmacy is where Holmes would make his true mark on the world. He built a hotel called the World's Fair Hotel in hopes of attracting many paying visitors to his new establishment. Originally a two-story building with apartments on the second floor and rental spaces and a drugstore on the first. Shortly after construction finished, a third floor would be added in addition to a secret basement. Here, there was a maze of twisting and winding halls that were designed to confuse and disorient visitors, gas lines running between rooms that Holmes could control to knock his victims unconscious, and a kiln in the basement that could be used to dispose of his victims. Holmes had built the so-called murder castle just in time for the World's Fair. Shortly after construction was complete, a jewelry store opened on the first floor of the hotel and was run by the husband and wife team of Ned and Julia Connor. Julia would be one of the mistresses that Holmes had an affair with. When Ned found out about the affair, he packed his bags and left his wife and daughter Pearl behind at the mercy of the murder castle. These two women would be the first of many innocent lives claimed by the horrid building at the hands of H.H. Holmes.
So what are your thoughts on these two? We've got some other characters coming up in this story.
Yes, Julia and Pearl. First two people he kills inside the murder castle.
Tragic. How old was Pearl? She was a young...
14 or 15. Okay. I don't know it off the top of my head, but she was mid-teens.
Yikes. And he was having an affair, right?
Yes. That's the reason Ned left Julia.
Ned just walked out. Bye, Ned.
I mean, he probably made the right decision to leave.
He was being cheated on. Okay. All right. That's fine. But yeah, so did she like know a lot of, I wonder if she knew a lot of H.H. Holmes' secrets about his conning. There was some insurance fraud. There was a lot of crazy going on.
I would be surprised if she did. Okay. He was conning her just the same. I think she ran a jewelry store. She probably had some money to her name.
Okay.
He more than likely wanted that money.
He did like money. He liked money quite a bit.
Yes, that was generally his motivator.
Big motivator. Anything else on this one? He's a really interesting guy.
Yeah, it's a strange life he lives. I don't even think we got to the most interesting parts.
Okay.
As time came and went, so did the World's Columbian Expedition. No one suspected a thing from the murder castle as people began to go missing from the fair. After the Columbian Expo, the murder castle had a fire that destroyed much of the building. The fire had insurance companies looking for Holmes and accusing him of fraud, which, given his past records of running cons, was very likely. This unwanted attention had Holmes fleeing Chicago and making his way around the country. As he traveled, Holmes would commit more cons and had an accomplice named Benjamin Pitzel. Their plan was for Holmes to take out a sizable insurance policy on Pitzel and then to fake Pitzel's death. Holmes, however, had a better idea. He would instead knock Pitzel out with chloroform and set him on fire, killing him. When Pitzel's body was presented to the insurance companies, Holmes claimed Pitzel was killed and disfigured in a lab explosion. Initially, Holmes was paid $10,000 and moved on to the next con. After some more cons and more mistresses, Holmes was wanted for horse theft and tracked down, when he was eventually tried and captured for many of the murders. Although Holmes had confessed to 27, Only 9 of them could be confirmed, and rumors said that he had up to or more than 200 kills. But throughout all of these kills, could Holmes have been one of the most well-known serial killers in history? Could Holmes have actually been Jack the Ripper? The main evidence for Holmes being Jack the Ripper is a diary written by Holmes claiming that he was in London during the times of the Ripper murders. The majority of Holmes' victims were also female, and according to handwriting analysis on the letters that Jack the Ripper sent to Buckingham Palace, it was most likely an American that penned the letter. While a fun theory and concept, there's not enough evidence to link the two. So, while maybe not Jack the Ripper, Holmes still had his fair share of murders numbering in the 200s, right? Well, probably not. But at least he had the murder castle specifically designed to make murder industrialized, right? Not really. Unfortunately, much of what is written about Holmes is lost in myth and legend. After his arrest and execution, the so-called murder castle was investigated. The maze of hallways and rooms designed to confuse patrons before he killed them was really a way to confuse furniture vendors so they couldn't find the massive amounts of items that Holmes stole from them. Rooms specifically designed to murder people, like the hanging room, where nooses were hanging from the ceiling, was really just a room with a rope left on the table. During the time at the fair, Holmes' murder castle was not even open to the public and had no visitors. While much of the legend that is H.H. Holmes is really made up by a media frenzy to account for anything bad that could have happened during the World's Fair, so Holmes was really just a con man living his life. Unfortunately, that life did include a sizable body count. In the end, 9 people were confirmed killed by Holmes. He claims to have killed 27, but many of the people on his list were proven to still be alive. Even the Holtons, who were claimed to have gone missing after Holmes bought the pharmacy from them, were proven to still be alive and well together. In the end, Holmes was a terrible man who conned and killed his way through life. Although not nearly as sadistic as was initially believed, he was still an evil man with evil intent.
All right, are we working? Yep. Oh my goodness, we're working now. So this is podcasting during quarantine. Here we are with one of, he's one of my favorite serial killers. You're not sure. You like...
I like the goriness.
I don't. So I think he's really interesting. He's a serial killer that I can understand. I'm going to explain. I'm going to explain. That sounds real bad. Sounds really bad. But he's definitely, all right. Well, let's get into this is a loaded story. Loaded.
Yes.
Like, as you were writing this, and we were both doing a lot of research on this guy, there were major parts of the story, major parts of the media reported story that mm-hmm. you just kind of have to leave out because there's just so much.
Yeah, there was a ton, and I just kind of had to get the point across without making it a 90-page story.
Well, this was going to be the 5-hour-long podcast. We were going to make a documentary, but, then we decided it's only episode 2, so we should probably not do that.
Yeah.
but he's such a fascinating character, and I think, there's even, rumors that he wasn't actually killed at the end. Because they hung him. I don't know if you heard about this one. They hung him. And, right before they did, he was saying that he was coming back. And there was some talk that he had, paid off some of the guards and that he actually wasn't hung, that they hung somebody else and put him in the grave. There was a documentary on this on Netflix that was, that built the connection between him and Jack the Ripper. There's so much on H.H. Holmes.
Yeah, and it's really hard to separate fact from fiction.
Yeah.
When it comes to a lot of the stories about him.
He's a really interesting guy.
Yeah.
But without further ado, I'm going to type him, and I'm going to type some of his victims. One of his most prominent victim. The victim that I think he was most closely connected with. The one that was, the real kill. He killed a few people, but, a lot of them kind of followed the same pattern. A lot of them were mistresses, some of just women he slept with. They weren't, a thing for him. This one person that I'm going to type is, it was kind of his partner. It was his partner. All right, so let's start with H.H. Holmes. So as I said earlier, I'm just typecasting. I'm just typing family members at this point. I think that H.H. Holmes, because I definitely think he was an extrovert. I think he was able to connect with people well. Every good con man's got to be able to connect.
He's definitely a people person.
I think he had quite the imagination. I don't think he was able to follow through on all of his imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if nothing else, he was a legend in his own mind. And he truly built a story about himself. Like, it was the media took it and ran with it. But, like, I mean, he claimed that he killed people that were still alive.
Yeah.
That's quite the imagination.
Yeah. I mean, he built an entire castle just to hide, or an entire hotel just to hide furniture.
Like, you have to be an intuitive personality. That is highly, highly creative. I mean, he truly created himself as a legend. Just himself. Mm-hmm. Just imagine having the ego for that. I'm a legend. So, I definitely wanted to say he's an N. And then, I think he was a thinker. And I think the reason I say this is I envision him as, like, kind of, he was cold and calculated. He definitely was. And I don't think, like, emotion played into a lot of things.
A con isn't an on-the-fly crime. True. It's something you think about ahead of time and you know you're going to do.
Yeah. I think he was definitely the thinker. And with that, I think he was also the judger. I think he was the planner. He planned out his whole hotel. He planned out his whole legend of himself. So I'm going to go with H.H. Holmes as the ENTJ.
Yeah.
That is the leader of men, ladies and gentlemen. That is, like, the great leader. This is like when you have that. I think the ENTJ is a really interesting personality type. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's a very powerful personality type. And I think if you're a good person, I think you can really do a lot of good in the world. And if you're a bad person, you can really do a lot of bad in the world. It's just strong.
He definitely managed to do a lot of bad.
It's a strong personality type. And as I said earlier, it is one of my family members. My sister, who's a doctoral candidate now. Newly doctoral candidate. Found out during quarantine. It's great. By the way, did I mention we're supposed to be quarantined right now? These are the only people I'm not social distancing from. I just want to let everyone know.
Yes.
But anyway, she is also an ENTJ. My sister, the doctoral candidate, is an ENTJ.
Mm-hmm.
The leader of men. Very interesting personality type. So now I've typed that our first killer was my father's personality type, and now our second killer is my sister's personality type. So I just can't wait. I mean, there's four of us in our family. You know, family full of serial killers. I mean,
not yet.
Not yet. Thoughts on the ENTJ?
No, I like it. It's right. It's right for him.
It's right.
Yeah.
Thank you. I like to be told I'm right.
Don't we all?
All right, so his first official victims were Julia and Pearl Connor. I didn't type them, although I would say that she was probably like the typical female, typical mom. There's really not enough information on her to really type her. It's unfortunate that time period, like how much was written about women and their lives and what their real personalities were. So you're just going to claim like, oh, she's like typical female and she had her daughter. You know, she was, I mean, all the way around, she was an H.H. Holmes victim. Like, he had an affair with her. She lost her husband over it. He didn't kill him. The guy just left.
Yeah.
He had enough. And he left Julia and Pearl, who was a teenager. And it's just, like, kind of sad. I can't really type them. I just feel bad. I just feel generally bad for them.
Yeah, there's not a lot of information on them besides, like, Julia, we know she ran the jewelry store with her husband, and she had a husband.
There you go.
That's what we have on her.
Two facts.
And Pearl, she was a teenager when she died. That's what we have on her.
That's really tragic. So I didn't type them, but I did type H.H. Holmes. I think his most notorious victim, I want to say. He was his partner.
Yeah.
So, Pitzel. Let's have a little discussion about Pitzel.
Another funny name.
I don't know what's up with these
Benjamin
names.
Pitzel.
Benjamin Pitzel.
I mean,
I always remember it. It reminds me of Pretzel, Benjamin Pretzel, but it's Pitzel.
Yep. It's hard to say during the...
I'm a disaster.
it was hard to say during the narration.
Yes. Benjamin Pitzel. I envision him as, the loyal, soldier, really. He went along with H.H. Holmes through all of these cons that they were doing. I can envision, H.H. Holmes, planning everything out. Pitzel being like, yeah, we could definitely make money off of that. That sounds great. We could definitely make money off of that. I gotta follow this H.H. Holmes guy. He's got this all figured out. I'm gonna say he's an ISTJ. I think he had that, that thinker-judger piece. He was able to definitely carry out Holmes's cons. All the way to the end, oddly enough. So, as you were talking about earlier, Pitzel knew about the con that was going to end his life.
Yes. He knew that there was a con that he was going to be part of to fake his death.
Yes.
What he didn't know is that Holmes did not intend to fake his death.
There was no faking involved.
Yes, and Holmes just killed him. In a fairly brutal way.
Yeah, it was... you were talking about that, and I was like, God, that was like...
Like, chloroform and set him on fire.
And then claimed it was an accident. Shocking.
Yeah, and it was a lab accident.
It's a lab accident. And also, it's one of the things about this whole story that was really interesting to me. So how did insurance work at that time? Did you just show up with somebody's body? Is that how it was,
I think it was more than likely, I think it was you, called the coroner. You called the insurance representative. And they came to, a coroner's office. You're not carrying corpses to an insurance office.
That's how I envisioned it. I don't know.
I mean, it'd be, I think,
Hi,
cooler.
Here he is.
But, yeah, here's the body. Give me my money. I'm taking him to the office now.
It's just, I don't know. It's really interesting. So I could see Pitzel as being, very loyal. Very, you know, I'm going to follow H.H. Holmes. We got this all figured out. I don't think Pitzel would have come up with this stuff on his own. I think he needed a toxic psychopath in his life to really get him going.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think he would have been just a normal guy. But then he met this H.H. Holmes guy. And it's all about the money.
Yep.
Okay, that's what I'm going to go with. When I said earlier that I understand H.H. Holmes...
You're the next con man serial killer.
This is it. This is where it all goes. When I say that, H.H. Holmes did a lot of things for money, which, I can... Not that I can understand that, but, you can... I can understand that motivation. I think we all do a lot of things for money. Maybe a lot of things... I certainly wouldn't go to work if they weren't paying me. So I think money is a motivator. I think with some stories that we're going to cover and some serial killers, there's other incentives. I don't think as much as H.H. Holmes, he had a huge ego and he was probably crazy. And he definitely, it was all about him. He killed a lot of his people he poisoned them and did use the chloroform, right?
I don't actually know how he killed Pearl and Julia. Julia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was doing my research, it seemed to me that he did a lot of, hands-off killing. He was not a brutal killer. Not that you kill people nicely. I mean, you're killing people. But, he was more, hands-off. He did have medical knowledge of things. He did take bodies apart after the fact. But he wasn't brutally stabbing people and enjoying it. I think the motivation and the enjoyment came when that money showed up.
Yeah, when the check arrived, that was...
I think he would have been an amazing entrepreneur, if it just didn't involve killing people. we'd be talking about H.H. Holmes or Mr. What's his name? Mudgett? We'd be saying, Mr. Mudgett started a multi-million dollar enterprise. Yeah, made lots of money, did lots of incredible things. Yeah, he'd be goddamn Bill Gates if he wasn't killing people.
Yeah, he'd be another Rockefeller.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, but, you know, he was like, but hey, you know what's easy money? He said
murder for money. I'm just going to kill this person.
I'm not going to sell anything. I'm just going to kill some people. The money's fast, you know? Low-key con man. Yeah, he was a weird guy. But I understand the money motivation. I don't think I could, like, kill somebody just because, oh, I enjoy killing them. I don't even know that he enjoyed killing people. I think it was money.
Yeah. Yeah. To him, life was about making money the easiest way he knew how.
Knocking people off for the insurance. It's just wild to me. And also the furniture story, mm-hmm. the fact that he built the hotel partly, like, it was partly to kill people, but also, like, it was to hide furniture in.
Yeah. Like, and then,
oh, you want to come pick up your furniture? Well, you're going to have to find it.
Yeah. And then, well, I think another big motivation for the hotel was to, I think, setting it on. He obviously set it on fire.
Oh, yeah.
He started the fire.
That was another insurance thing.
And, yeah, I think the whole reason he built the hotel was just to take insurance out on it and set it on fire.
Could kill a few people, take the insurance for them. Mm-hmm. I could hide some furniture in here. And then, when I'm done with that, let's burn the place down. Mm-hmm. He's a really interesting guy.
And, like, even after, like, probably my favorite part of his story is I didn't get to it in the actual narration because it's so much. It's so complicated. After the fire and the insurance companies went after him for fraud, he began traveling, picked up a mistress.
He was really
and
good at doing
part
that.
Of their family. I'm sorry. He picked up a mistress and her family.
Mm-hmm.
Traveled for some time, picked up Pitzel's
mm-hmm.
wife and two or three of her kids.
Yep.
Traveled with them. Neither family, even though they were traveling together, had no idea the other existed. And I have no idea how you even pull that off. Before he just decided, I can't take care of these kids anymore, and he killed Pitzel's wife and kids. And just the strangeness of him traveling with two families and neither knowing the other exists. And it's not short distances. He's across the United States.
Yeah,
he traveled
all over the country, yeah. Yeah, the guy was really brilliant. He really, like, he could have done a lot of things. Listen, boys and girls, if you're really smart, don't waste your life in killing people. There's, you know, there's things, there's other ways to make money.
Yes.
I just addressed the children in the audience. There shouldn't be any. This show is for people who are over the age of 21 because we talk about wine.
And murder.
We do talk about murder. But you can be over 18 for murder. I don't know that there's ever a good murder age, but, you know, it's fine. It's fine. When do you think you should be discussing murder? I don't know. I don't know.
Elementary, high school, elementary history classes.
They start talking about murders pretty young. Children realize that people kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're H.H. Holmes, you do it for money. Which brings us to our wine.
Yes.
My favorite part of the entire podcast.
Yes.
We have this was amazing. We found this, and this was definitely the H.H. Holmes wine. If you've been wondering why we have a 24-carat gold block... It's made of cardboard. If this was a 24-karat gold block, I don't know that we'd be
rich.
Sitting here.
Yeah.
But it's made of cardboard, but it's super cool. We saw this, and we were like, H.H. Holmes. Yes. This is H.H. Holmes wine. And you want to describe it? It has little gold flakes in it.
Yes.
He'd be all about it.
It is a white blend with 24-karat gold flakes in it, and it is sparkling, so I'm going to pop it.
And we're going to pop it.
Oh, that was good.
It was terrifying. I'm afraid of my own shadow. Hey, let's make a podcast about serial killers. Not that I'm scared or anything.
Very,
this is
mine. Very bubbly, yeah.
Very bubbly. Yes, so we figured that if H.H. Holmes showed up and they were like, what did he call himself? I don't want to call him H. Like, what was this? What was he calling himself? Henry or?
Henry. I think it was Henry.
If Henry showed up and they were like, Henry, head down to the wine cellar. Select a wine for dinner. I think this 24-karat gold edition would be the one he'd go for. Because after all, nothing but the best.
I don't think we got any of the gold flakes.
I don't think we got any of the gold flakes.
I mean, gold is fairly heavy, so they settle to the bottom.
They do.
So you really got to get to the bottom before you... So we just got to get to the bottom of the bottle.
Sweet. This has a sweet smell. As Gary V says, let's give it a sniffy sniff. Do you know who Gary V is?
I do not know who Gary V is.
Gary V's famous. Drier than I expected.
Yeah. It's almost champagne-like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drier than I expected. Very sweet smell. Drier than I expected, but not unpleasantly dry.
The bubbliness. It cuts the dryness for me.
Can you pull any flavors out?
No, I mean, it's just kind of dry and bubbly for me.
It's dry and bubbly.
I don't really get any actual flavors.
It's fruity. Like, it's got a sweet.
Almost like peachy.
You don't taste a hint of banana, do you?
Mm-mm. I wish I tasted banana in that.
No? You don't taste anything?
I mean, I get...
We're working on our wine tasting skills.
Yeah, so the most I get is peach.
You get a peach? Does it say anything? What's the flavor on there?
A luxurious blend of fine sparkling wine and real 24-karat gold flakes. The perfect sparkling to toast that special occasion or to spark the night celebration. That sentence is worded really awkwardly. The perfect sparkling to toast that special occasion. I think they meant to say the perfect sparkling wine or
The perfect sparkling something to toast that fine occasion. For us, that fine occasion is talking about H.H. Holmes.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, during quarantine.
There's not much else to do during quarantine.
There isn't much else to do. But you can listen to the podcast now.
Yes.
You think we're going to start a TikTok?
I think so. I mean, you did just describe that we had a box sitting on the table.
Mm-hmm. And then the wine bottle, how would you describe it? It's shimmery gold at the top.
Yeah, it's like a gold, almost glitter paint that fades into a clear bottle.
So you can see those gold flakes.
Yeah. Nice bottle. I mean, I'm probably going to keep the bottle in the box after we're done the wine.
Yeah, I mean...
Which I got to drink the wine quick, because I'm never getting this cork back in.
I'd like to drink some gold. Is that healthy to drink gold?
It's not unhealthy. You actually use gold in... metabolic function very minimally.
Fantastic.
To like shake it up to get the gold spinning, but it's not.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Go a little.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Just got to keep going. All right. Let's see if I can get some gold. Did I get any?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah. All right.
This we should be recording. This was so fun.
Yes.
Perfect.
There we go.
Oh, we have little gold flakes in here. So fancy. H.H. Holmes would be all about it. He'd be like, yes, gold. I'm finally where I should be.
No, he'd probably want to one-up it and put diamonds in it.
like diamonds. I'd like my glass to be encrusted with diamonds as I drink my gold flakes.
I'm not even getting the gold flakes because they settled down to the bottom of the glass.
It's fine. These are the gold flakes. You'll never actually drink them, but here they are.
Yeah, so,
they're in here.
So what I'd recommend is drinking most of the wine, filtering out the gold flakes, and just keeping them. Just keep the gold flakes.
We know what Kyle will be doing this evening. Filtering out the gold flakes. I don't know what you'll even do with them. I mean... They're apparently 24-karat gold.
Yeah, you just heat them up and form them into a little thing.
This is what Jenny's engagement ring is going to be made out of.
There's not enough gold in here. I can buy another bottle of this. Not bad. Probably won't buy it again.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd buy it again. I just... as far as a buy, I mean, it's not really. It's definitely got a champagne feel about it.
Yeah, it's a gimmick you take to a party once, and so that everyone knows you're fancy like that, and then never do it again.
It's a gimmick you take to a podcast once, and you never do it again because it's terrible. It's not terrible. It's
I like it, but not
enough to drink it often.
It's not. It will never be my go-to.
Well, I hope not. How much did it set us back?
I don't even think it was that expensive. It was on sale. It was only, I don't think it was even $20. It was cheap, I'm pretty sure.
I think these 24 karat gold slivers in here, I think this is.
No, you don't, there's not enough weight there.
Fake.
It could, a lot of fake. A lot of food grade gold is fake.
It's a con. Just like H.H. Holmes.
There it is. Now we actually linked it up.
H.H. Holmes would tell you that there's gold flakes in your wine. But you kind of know they're not real gold flakes.
Mm-hmm.
He'd want you to feel fancy like that. Can you imagine H.H. Holmes taking you out on a date? I mean, he had lots of girlfriends and lots of mistresses. I think he had one real wife, but mm-hmm. I don't know how long he even lived with her.
No, so I think that was right out of college.
Yeah.
He got married. Actually, no, I don't think he was even in college when they got married.
I think he graduated like high school, got married at 17 or something.
Yeah, like right after graduating, he went to Chicago,
mm-hmm.
did all his stuff there, and she just kind of waited for him in, what did I say, New Hampshire?
New Hampshire, yeah.
Yeah. And she's kind of waited for him there.
That's low-key kind of sad. But yeah, no, can you imagine him, like, taking you out on a date? Like, you'd probably think you were, like, he'd probably be like, I have so much money. So much money. And you're going to be the love of my life. You're the love of my life. You're my soulmate. By the way, what does your father own? Oh, a jewelry store. Huh. You sell jewelry? Like 24 karat jewelry. Yeah. He was probably like, yeah, he probably like showed them like such a great time. And they just thought that mm-hmm. he was like, I wasn't going to curse on this podcast, but like he was totally a fuckboy. That should go on TikTok. What do you want to know about the serial killers? Well, H.H. Holmes, you know, he was a fuckboy. Little known facts. He was like, girl.
Preaching the truth.
Girl, it's not you, it's me. It's just been so hard for me to find someone. But you're different. You're not like other girls. It's my favorite line.
You hear that one a lot?
Wait, are we talking about my personality type? You're not like other girls. You're different. Drink the wine with the carrot, the 14 carat, or the 24 carat gold in it. Any other thoughts on H.H. Holmes? Thoughts on the wine? Thoughts on H.H. Holmes? Thoughts on our second podcast?
I mean, that's what we're celebrating today. It went smoother than the first.
The first took us some time. Although Ed Gein was an interesting guy.
He was, but his not quite as complicated of a life.
No, he definitely, no. H.H. Holmes would have looked at Ed Gein and been like, didn't you get out much? That's so sick. Yeah.
And Ed Gein would have said, no.
Did you ever leave your house? Ed Gein was ready for quarantine all the time. Let's just talk about it. Ed Gein was a quarantine champion.
He kind of kept people around, though.
He was lonely. He was the ultimate introvert. I'd like you to be here. Just don't talk to me, though. So sick.
This took a turn. It took a dark turn.
See, that's why I liked H.H. Holmes. There were dark... He definitely had his darker things, but like... I don't know. He's fun to make fun of. See,
Holmes was all about the con.
Holmes was all about the con.
Gein was just gore.
Yeah, Gein had some issues.
Yeah.
H.H. Holmes was more of a normal guy, you know, for someone that kills people.
As normal as you can get. Who's idea was this? Yours, actually. Your idea for the podcast, your idea for the wine, and you're going off on fuckboy tangents.
I don't think I've drank any of this gold.
I got mine. Here. I got mine, and I can tell you they didn't really add much.
Didn't add much to it. Yeah, it's definitely a take it to a party once. I know. Look, I'm fancy like that.
Yeah.
My boyfriend would take this to a party. I'm yeah. So rich, guys.
He also wouldn't let anyone know that he bought it on sale.
AJ Jones would buy this wine on sale, too. Our significant others are hanging out with each other right now.
Yep.
It's all good. Anything else for H.H. Holmes? We got anything else?
Not that I got. I think we kind of covered it.
You covered H.H. Holmes?
Awesome. Yeah, his crazy life.
His crazy life. Big ego. He's got a big ego.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressed with himself. I mean, he's like, I mean, as far as serial killers go, I mean, he wrote his own brand.
Yeah.
He was like.
Yeah. Everything that happened, did you just spill it?
I just spilled a drop of wine.
Just like one drop.
It's fine. Just a single drop.
So anyway.
Yeah. Carry on. He made his own brand. I mean, he was into branding. He would be a great social media marketer, I think. Yeah. He would have really done well.
If only we knew someone who could market this podcast.
It's great. All right.
So this was Murdering Meyer Briggs.
Murdering Myers Briggs, episode 2, H.H. Holmes.
Goodbye.